जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन हे यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन 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 यमुना तीर यमुना तीर वनचारी जय जय राधा माधव वंद बिहारी जय राधा माधव वंद बिहारी राधा माधव राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे নিতাই গৌরাঙ্গ নিতাই গৌরাঙ্গ নিতাই গৌরাঙ্গ কৃষ্ণ বলরাম কৃষ্ণ বলরাম কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম ललिता विशाखा जय राधेशा ललिता विशाखा जय राधेशा जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद
प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि वो जय ओम विष्णुपद परमहंस परवृषकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद श्रील अभय चरणानंद भक्ति विरात स्वयं श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील ठाकुर हरिदास की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौड़ भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। गंगा देवी की जय। यमुना मई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी रानी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। इस्कान बीबीति संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री श्री ललिता विशाखा सहित राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय। गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदे। All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Srila Prabhupada. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। This is Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, dealing with the most exalted Rasa Leela, pastimes of the Lord. And we're just finishing this chapter. Today we will discuss texts 32 and 33, which hopefully are on the board. So kindly repeat after me. Well, by way of introduction or to refresh your memories, a few days ago we heard a very wonderful description from His Holiness Bhaktirasayan Sagar Swami of text number 31, which I'll just quickly repeat. Ishwaranam vachah satyam tathaiva charitam kvachit tesham yat swavacho yuktam buddhiman tatsamacharet. The statements of the Lord's empowered servants are always true, and the acts they perform are exemplary when consistent with those statements. Therefore, one who is intelligent should carry out their instructions. Today's text, please repeat. Kushala acharitena isham iha Swartha na vidyate viparyena. Sorry, viparyena va अनर्थः निरहंकारिणां प्रभो कुशलाचरितेनैषां इह स्वार्थो न विद्यते विपर्ययेन वानर्थो निरहंकारिणां प्रभो कुशलाचरितेनैषां इह स्वार्थो न विद्यते विपर्ययेन वानार्थो निरहंकारिणां प्रभो. Anyone else? कुशलेनाचरितेनैषां इह स्वार्थो न विद्यते विपर्ययेन वानार्थो निरहंकारिणां प्रभो माताजी कुशलेनैषां इह स्वार्थो न विद्यते विपर्ययेन वानार्थो निरहंकारिणां प्रभो कुशलाचरितेनैषां इह स्वार्थो न विद्यते विपर्ययेन वानर्थो निरहंकारिणां प्रभो कुशल पायस आचरितेन बाय एक्टिविटी एषां फॉर देम इह इन दिस वर्ल्ड स्व अर्थः सेल्फिश बेनिफिट न विद्यते does not accrue viparjayena by the opposite va or anarthaham undesirable reactions nirahankarinam who are free from false ego prabho my dear sir. My dear Prabhu, when these great persons who are free from false ego act piously in this world, they have no selfish motives to fulfill. And even when they act in apparent contradiction to the laws of piety, they are not subject to sinful reactions. Please repeat, my dear Prabhu,
my dear Prabhu.
When these great persons
who are free from false ego
act piously in this world,
they have no selfish motives to fulfill.
And even when they act
in apparent contradiction
to the laws of piety,
they're not subject
to sinful reactions.
There's no purport here. There's a lot of commentary here. But there's no purport. We're going to go on to text number 33, and we can discuss both of them together. This whole passage, they're all very similar verses. So please repeat, I think you have it on the board.
Kim uta akhila satvanam tiryak martya diva okasam ईशितोः च ईशितव्यानां कुशल अकुशल अन्वयः किमुताखिलसात्वानां
Tiryang Marja Devaukasam Ishitushchesitabhyanam Kushala Kushalanvayaham. How then could the Lord of all created beings, animals, men, and demigods, have any connection with the piety and impiety that affect all the creatures that are his subjects? There's a purport here by the servants of his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder and acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, savior of the modern world, our Lord and Master, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As explained in text 32, even great personalities empowered by the Lord are free from the laws of karma. Then what to speak of the Lord himself? After all, the law of karma is created by him and is an expression of his omnipotent will. Therefore, his activities, which he performs out of his own pure goodness, are never subject to criticism by ordinary living beings. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnanam Jina Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yatabhargamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladata Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpadarupyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namonama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prahunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Madgavirapi Gopala Svikuryat Kripaya Yadi Tadaivasam Payahapitva Rishi Yusta Priyajanaha. Some definitions are in order here before we begin to describe or try to explain anything. Of course, the context of, we know, Shukadev Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, who was curious that how can Krishna do these things? Dancing with others' wives in the dead of night. And by way of explaining, we've already heard the Lord is not subject to karma. Even the Lord's servants are not subject to karma. That's a harder one to digest, isn't it? We always like to somehow see the servants of the Lord as less than the Lord. And it's true there are different levels of adhikar. That's an important concept. Maybe we can explain if time permits. But here it's stated very clear. When one has the level of Ishwara Adhikara, when you are an Ishwara, then you're not subject to this kind of karmic reaction anymore. And everything you say is true. Now the problem is this. In this world, all of us consider ourselves to be Ishwaras. All of us, I'm free from false ego, no problem. This is the problem. As we heard the other day from Sagar Maharaj, he very nicely explained, we try to imitate. Anukaran, anusaran. Instead of anukaran, we should go for adhikaran. Adhikaran means to actually have the qualification. And the qualification we will hear in a moment has been explained by our acharyas. But first of all, kushala, the interesting word here is used, kushala meaning pious activities. The word kushala means much more than just pious activities. It means anything that's proper, it means anyone who is capable, it means prosperous, happy, healthy, pleasing. It indicates welfare. Kushala. Kim kushalam? You ask someone in Sanskrit. How are you doing? Kya hal hai? So that's one thing to know. Acharitena, by the actions that are performed. They may be of two types. It may be kushala or it may be viparyaya. It may be the opposite of kushala. Means something injurious, something sinful, something really ugra, ugly activities. All of us are impelled to do that from some time because we're not free of false ego. This is the thing. We don't have the adhikar that we think we have. One god brother told me that he asked Puri Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's god brother, what happened to Gaudiya Math? Why did they fail like that? And Puri Maharaj answered him in one word. He said, adhikar ulanghana. Adhikar ulanghana. They tried to overstep their adhikar. This is what we do on a daily basis. Is it not? Because we think that we're so much greater than we are. Year after year after year, the scandals go on, the fall downs go on, the everything. We see it. We experience it. Still we don't learn. Sa pasyati, na pasyati. Really dense. Therefore it's stated, manda, not only manda, but su manda mati. We've all got really, really thick heads. And Prabhupada used to say, actually, full of cow dung, not brains. I'll take it a step further. Not cow dung, because cow dung is sacred. Buffalo dung. This is what our heads are full of. And the internet is full of this also, isn't it? And we're absorbed in that internet. What goes in must come out, either in the form of words or in the form of your actions. You hear it stated, acharitena. Two types, kushala, akushala. So, viparyayena, by the opposite. Sa-artha, it's not even in your own interest to get involved in this. Nija-artha. Artha means your purpose or something worthwhile. For yourself, even for ourselves, we won't do the right thing. We don't realize who we are. So, because we're full of anarthas. Anarthas is another one. It means something that doesn't fulfill your own purpose. Anartha, negative. And so this is for the ahankaris. But once we become nirahankari, and that's not an easy thing, then these things don't matter anymore. It's a little bit like the analogy Prabhupada gives. For an engineer, you can call it a heating system or a cooling system, you know, koi fark nahi. Engineer KDA. So, this is one thing. Sridhar Swamin, in his commentary, Nanu tarthi tepi kim evam sahasam acharanti tatraha kushaleti. Why does he speak this verse, according to Sridhar Swamin? Because someone is immediately going to think upon hearing this. Maybe some of you were thinking when you heard this verse that, okay, well, wait a minute. If Ishwaras are not subject to karmic reactions, then that means they can do anything, right? Sahasam acharanti. Sahas. Very interesting word. What does sahas mean? Usually we say it means something like audacity, boldness, something rash, foolhardy, daring, inconsiderate, cruel, violent. Or here, as it's already stated, akushalam, viparyaya, the opposite of the good things, bad things. Even if a person who's free of all false ego somehow or other does bad things, like Arjuna did bad things, actually. He was ready to kill so many friends, so many relatives, but he was not touched by sinful reaction because he was nirahankari. He was not acting on his own swartha. He had given that up in chapter 2 when Krishna chastised him. He was only doing what Krishna asked him to do. So when you're doing what Krishna asked you to do, that's adhikar. You will be empowered to do it if you're surrendered, actually. So this is why this verse, previous verse stated, therefore we should just carry out their instructions, not doubting about their level of adhikar. Worry about your own level of adhikar. Where are you going? Or where you came from? We know in astrology you'd have different types, right? There's the Rakshasis and the Gandharvas, and you can calculate. Where are you coming from? And you look at your life, and you can calculate also, where am I going? That's the important thing. So sahasam acharanti, even if they behave in the most, how do you translate this, you know, audacious manner, I'm going to settle with that for now. Firpi, this verse answers that they're not subject. Prarabdha karma kshapana matram eva tesham krityam nanyad iti artaha. He says this means that there is no purpose to fulfill other than burning up prarabdha karma when a saintly person acts. We'll return to that in a moment. The word kshapana is used here. That means abstinence, penitence, to throw something off or expel it, to diminish, to destroy, to suppress. This is what they're doing. They're just getting rid of their prarabdha karma. All right. Srinath Chakravarti has also commented here. He says, how is it that a controller acts independently? Verses like this show that it's simply lila. He has a different explanation, different opinions among different authorities. He says it's lila. We know this also. Because it's not possible to restrain those who are independent. Really, if you actually have adhikar, nobody can keep you down. This is a fact. You cannot keep a good man down. He's going to shine somehow or other. You have no say in the matter. We heard the other day, Krishna is God, you are not. So, and he says here, the word is used, esham, it's maybe vague, it just means of these. It refers to controllers. What kind of controllers? We've all been warning. What does it really mean to be free of a false ego, to be a controller? Who is that? Brahmadinam, Rudradinam. If you're like Brahma, if you're like Lord Shiva, they're on this category. Not somebody you think is advanced in this temple or in your community or somewhere else. So, really, really big controllers. These are the people who are being referred to here. Adinam and others are there because of their activities, which are, what is he saying here? Very skillful actions, I guess you can say, kushala. And by the opposite, forbidden actions. Either way, they don't have any undesirable result because that result inheres only in ego. There's nothing for the result to stick to if you have no false ego. This is the point. So he says, O Prabhu, because he's addressing... who is speaking again? I told you already. This is a quiz, pop quiz. Shukdev Goswami, and he speak, and still he's calling Parikshit Maharaj Prabhu. Just see the example. If you're keenly listening, you'll notice these things. And we're supposed to take the hint. So, even having heard this much glory regarding how one is above false ego and can act according to the Lord's design without any worry about karmic reaction. Still, somebody will think that, I am such a controller. That's the problem. All right. Sanatana Goswami. Kushala means piety. Esha means of the controllers. The word cha means not only in this life, cha, and what? And in the hereafter, as well, in the next life, amutra. He uses the word artha. Artha means the palam, the result. So he's making it very clear. I told you there are many different definitions of the word artha, but here he means it means karma phalam, or the result of your activity. Viparyayena papneti artha. And viparyaya, the opposite of kushala, means sinful. He's making that explicit for us. So, va means in either case, means both of them together, in both cases. Anarthopi nasti, there is no anartha. There's nothing untoward or unwanted. Kutaha, how is it? Nirahankari nam ahankari pyo vyatiriktanam. Among those who are separate from the ahankaris, those who are beyond that, different. They don't have any ahankara bhava. So there's no, again, there's nothing for the karma to stain. This is the meaning. That's enough to say about that. Who else is? Jiva Goswami says, there's no gain for this. Yeah, they're all saying pretty much the same thing. So, when they act in a contrary manner, there's still no fault. The negative is understood. Why? Because they're devoid of ahankar. There's no contamination by that act. You're capable of understanding. That's why he's calling him Prabhu. Because he's capable of understanding. Or, Prabhu means you're also Ishwara. Ishwara means Prabhu. So he's saying you're also such a person. He's hinting like this, according to Jiva Goswami. All right. Those free of false ego are exempt. Even so, the idea is that each and every action is simply impelled by prarabdha karma. All right, so we have no comments here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Maybe that's why the BBT editors decided not to say anything either. But in text number 33, how then could any karma accrue to the Lord? If all these people are his subjects and he controls them and they don't have any karma, then how would he have any karma? It's logic. All right, so here we get the word is used, sattva. Living beings. Ishitavya means essentially the same thing as the Ishavasyam. Things that are controlled by the Lord. We're all controlled. That's called Ishitavya. So Ishavasyam idam sarvam. All this stuff is controlled by the Lord, including us. We're not controllers yet. This is the thing to come to. Prastutam aha kimuteti. Kushala kushalan vayona vidyata iti. Kim punarvaktavyam iti artha, Sridhar Swami says. He speaks what to speak of logic. This is called kaimutya. Kaimutya. When you say kim uta, it means what to speak of, you know, this or what to speak of that. So Sridhar Swami says he's presenting that here because he wants to emphasize there's no connection of good or bad karma. It bears repeating, he says. Sanatana Goswami says, if this is so for the Ishwaras, and they're devoid of fault, since they are without ahankar, then what fault can there be in the Lord who appeared to benefit these Ishwaras? This is expressed with a kaimutika nyaya, same way, saying the same thing. Krishna is the Lord of all beings in tamas, rajas, and sattva. If you see the second verse on the board here, what does the line read? Should see. Someone want to read it? Tiryang? It's not there? So read it. Huh? Yeah, text 33 we're talking about. I told him to put it on the board. Okay. Tiryang? Nara? Martya, yeah, Nara means Martya. So three things are mentioned, Tirdyak, Marcha, and Divokasa. Who are they? Tirdyak. What does Tirdyak mean, actually? Just like some people wear the Tirdyak Pundra, right? They don't wear the Urva Pundra. Means sideways, horizontal. What kind of creatures or sattvas in this world are horizontal? Yes, it's a fancy Sanskrit way of saying animals, because they're horizontal. Tough thing to be an animal. Think about it. You've got four legs, you're horizontal, and no hands. You have to do everything with your mouth. That's pretty rough. Imagine if you woke up like that tomorrow, your whole life would be changed. Tiryak, and then Martya, those who are subject to death. That means ordinary humans like us. And finally, Diva Okasam, those who are living in the sky. Who lives in the sky? The Devas. That's how they sit in the clouds and throw flowers whenever Krishna does something particularly wonderful. They're already up there. So, he's pointing out here, who is this? Maybe this is Sanatana Goswami. He's pointing out that we're talking about those who are in Tamogun, those who are in Rajagun, and those who are in Sattvagun respectively. Animals in Tamoguna, us, we're in passion predominantly, and the Devas are mostly in goodness. Oh, so by their nature, they are to be controlled by whom? Ishwaras. That's how big you have to be in order to be exempt from your karma. You have to be like demigod level, even not ordinary demigods, but top demigods, top management of the cosmic administration. So, and the Lord is the Lord of even those persons. Ishwara sarva ishwara ishwara. This is the Lord. So there's no question of karma here. This is the point. All right. Jiva Goswami, Ishitavya means that which has no connection or association because of being super Ishwara, either with Kushala, piety, punya, or Akushala, sin, papa. The Lord has none. And so no one in the entire class of those who are completely transparent and without false ego surrender to Him, none of them have any such flaw either. They're not subject to karma. That's why what they say is always true, because they don't make mistakes. Believe it or not, there was one person who is popular in ISKCON, and yet he recently claimed that Srila Prabhupada makes mistakes, or has made mistakes. He says, I think this is wrong. Without any shame, he says this. We could say some things, but we won't. So, these are the commentaries of the acharyas on this point. Now, some of you may be having a question about all this. We've heard, especially in text 32, it's emphasized that the only reason that these nirahankaris in this world are acting is in order to burn up their prarabdha karma. What do you think about that? Anyone have any doubts about this? There should be some doubts about this. I thought that, yes, what have you...
How do they have any karma?
Yes, this is the obvious question. How do they have any karma? Well, as I said in the beginning, there's different levels of adhikara. What is that famous verse in the 11th canto? You must be knowing. To act according to your adhikar, that is a guna, and to try to do anything else, that is a dosha. All of us have some degree of adhikar. We are empowered by dint of karma, but the devatas are empowered not by karma, like us. They're empowered by Krishna. Brahma Samhita also describes everybody gets all their whatever facility, intelligence, you know, power, wealth, etc., etc., coming by the will of Govinda, but indirectly through the material energy. Devatas, they're getting empowered. Pure devotees, especially, they're getting empowered directly by Krishna. This is the point. So it takes some time to get to that level of Ishwaratva. But in particular, Rupa Goswami says, Yad brahma sakshat krita nishthayapi vinasham ayati vinana bhogayahi. He's stating a general principle. What is that general principle? That even if you are Brahman realized, can we have a show of hands here? How many of you are Brahman realized? Even if you are Brahman realized, still you're not free from prarabdha karma. Because the general rule is that the only way to burn up your prarabdha karma is to experience it. Because there's a certain amount that's on the docket for this life, and you can't change that. It's kind of like if you get into an airplane, now that the security is so tight, you will not be able to carry a bomb with you, so we can exclude terrorists. But if you get into an airplane that's going to Mumbai, you're not going to end up in New York because that plane is going to Mumbai, and you can do nothing about it once you're in the air. Basically, that's how it works. So Prarabdha Karma is like that. Even if you understand theoretically, and Brahman realization is always only theoretical, it's never practical. That's another flaw of just being a jnani. Even if you understand Aham Brahmasmi, Firvi, you cannot change your karma. For one reason, simple reason, is that if you burn up all your prarabdha karma, you die on the spot. Because the only thing keeping us alive and well in this body is prarabdha karma. Okay? So then what does it mean when he says, Apaiti namas puranena tate prarabdha karmeti viroti vedaha? He doesn't even say it himself. He says, the Vedas say this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary elaborates which Vedas, where does it say, how many verses, what are they, etc., etc., etc. Shruti, Shruti Vakya. So this is a problem. Who's keeping the devotees alive if they have no karma? Krishna. Therefore, the reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, who tells you what to write in these books? Prabhupada just casually replied, Krishna. It's a fact. That is the level of Ishwaratva on which you become truly nirahankari and you are empowered by the Lord. And by dint of that empowerment, you don't have to suffer bad reactions. You don't get to enjoy good reactions either. Keep it in mind. But Krishna takes care of his devotees out of love. The facilities of yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinshana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. Samasate suraha. They like samyak asate. They like to sit with the devotee in his heart permanently, completely. They don't like to go away. Ordinarily, we've been discussing prarabdha karma. When the devatas have to administer your prarabdha karma, that prarabdha karma has a limit. It's only for a certain point in time when the karma runs out, divorce. We see it happen. The karma ran out, she's gone. Or the money is gone, stolen. Or, you know, doctor tells you, I'm very sorry to report that, you know, it's stage 4. And you've got a few weeks only. Karma ran out. And nothing you can do about it. If you are Ishitavya, subject to the control of these Ishwaras, our position is very small. These are the things we need to meditate on in order to understand this chapter. Really. That's why he's stating these things. And that's why he's spending 5 or 6 verses to explain. Why is Krishna not a rascal? People think Krishna's a rascal. Some of them like it, some of them don't like it. But people are just thinking that Krishna's enjoying other wives the way we would like to do. And we have to cultivate this knowledge in order to elevate our consciousness above that misconception. And we have to believe what we hear. And we have to act on what we hear also. Then we actually become elevated. So, the principle is here, according to the Vedas, apaiti namas puranenda tate prarabdha karmeti virauti vedaha. The devotees are freed even from prarabdha karma by dint of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jiva Goswami, he brings up this point in his commentary on Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. Wait a minute. If the devotees are freed from karma, let's say we take initiation, we throw all the grains in. It's said that all your papa goes, prarabdha goes in there. So then why do devotees still suffer sometimes? Who can tell me the answer? Devotees are getting sick. Somebody got COVID, right? Been foggy ever since. Huh? Krishna's will? You wish. Very rarely that is the case. Aha, you have. Bolie? Just shout. No. This is a different question. Okay.
Bring him more closer to Krishna.
Okay, it's getting too complicated now. Sorry I asked the question. But devotees have to suffer because, according to Jiva Goswami in this passage of the Bhaktisamrita Sindhu commentary, he says, because it takes some time. When we say something is sadhya, immediate, sadhya, you know, immediate, it's a relative conception. What's immediate to you is, you know, maybe not so for someone else. It's a fuzzy concept. When you, he gives the analogy, you say you stack 100 palm leaves and you take one of those long needles that they use for the garlands and push it through. It goes through immediately, correct? Is it? Immediately, yes, you can say that. It's true. But actually it doesn't go through immediately at the same time. It goes through the 100th leaf, then it goes through the 99th leaf, then it goes through the 98th leaf, adi, adi, adi. And the second or third leaf have to wait their turn. This is what we're experiencing here. We're not even at the level where we can even consider so much. Krishna's will and our offenses even are not so... We're still in karma, most of us. That's why it says we have to believe what the Shastra says, what the sadhus say, and what the guru says, and we just have to follow instructions. Purva Mimamsa philosophy. They have, it's actually explicit in that philosophy, they say, that there's no need for knowledge. All you have to do is obey. There is some truth in that, some truth. Not complete truth, but there is some truth in that. Just like animals, you don't negotiate with monkeys, right? You don't, the only thing they understand is the stick. That's it. And therefore it's called Shastra. Shastra means it's the thing that performs the function of a Shastra. Shastra means a weapon. So Shastra just shut up and do this, don't do that. Chodanas and, or what do we say, vidhis and nishedhas. It's the only thing. In the beginning, at entry-level Krishna consciousness, this has to be our foremost concern. And it's implicit when Rupa Goswami says what? At the beginning of Upadeshamrita? Vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam ityadi. And the next few verses as well. That's all that stuff is enjoined in Shastra or prohibited in Shastra. This is what we have to do. We have to live a Shastric life. Tasmat chastram pramanam te karya karya vijanataha. You have to decide what to do based on what the Shastra says, Krishna says, more than once in Bhagavad Gita. So this is why it's very important to... I mean, sometimes we have a problem here, too, that sometimes we find, even in ISKCON, that the Shastra says something and people disagree about what it means. That should be resolved when we compare different statements and their weight, respective weights. Or sometimes we see that there's something that the Shastra doesn't say. And that also causes a problem because we're not sure what to do. At what time in the evening do you turn off your computer, according to Shastra? Obviously, it's not there. The Shastra cannot say everything. So, Vishishta Dharma Sutra tells us, very nicely, Shruti Smriti Vihito Dharma. Dharma means the thing that you want to do, good thing. That is whatever is enacted or settled well by the revealed scriptures, the Shrutis and the Smritis. That alabhe, but in the case that you don't get any explicit injunction, then what is your option? Shishtachara, Shishtachara Pramanam. The activities of those who are aptas, reliable authorities, shishtas, those who are perfectly trained, acharyas, in effect. That is our default authority. And sometimes it so happens that in the absence of an explicit shruti or smriti reference, the shishtachara is our only frame of reference. So we have to follow that. And there are infinite purports. If you're looking for them, you will find in throughout Prabhupada's books, especially I'm thinking Canto 4, Chapter 18, of course, Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 3. There's so many places. that Prabhupada is encouraging, as Krishna does. Purvair purvataram kritam tasmat karmatvam. You have to do your own karma in exactly the same way that those who went before you did. This is the default principle, at least according to Manu. So that doesn't mean that you follow or imitate what the Shishtacharas are doing. No, you cannot imitate. You don't have the adhikar to imitate. But you have to follow whatever they have instructed. This is the point. And especially if their example is there, that's so much the better. So this is an important point also. And therefore we hear in places, if you have this attitude, then you accept the spiritual master does not make mistakes. The acharya is free of all four defects. What are those four defects? Imperfect senses, making mistakes, becoming illusioned, and the big one, especially in South Asia, this cheating propensity is ubiquitous. Everywhere you cannot escape it. You're also cheaters. That's why there's a security cam every 10 feet, everywhere in the world, because everybody's cheating. It's a fact. So, therefore, in a world where everyone is cheating, it is, in fact, very difficult to place your faith in someone else. Even in the Vaishnavas, even in the sadhus and the gurus and the acharyas, we've mentioned already, some people, they have a real problem. But Uddhava told Vidura, back in Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text number 10, Devasya mayaya sprishta ye chanyad asad ashritaha brahmyate dhirnatad vakyayat atmani upatmano harao. Under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. If you are sincere, Krishna will guide you always. You will get the guidance that you require. Zarur, you will get it. It is nishchaya. Srila Prabhupada has given us a nice purport. Let's take this purport, and every time you hear the word Krishna or Paramatma or the Supreme Lord in this purport, you just substitute that word for Srila Prabhupada and see how it works. Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to all the evidences of the Vedas. Does this apply to Srila Prabhupada? It's a trick question, tell me. No. Well, no, that's true. But yes, he is. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is the Prakash Sarup of the Lord. There are two forms, right? Prakash Vilas. That's a pretty strong statement. The spiritual master is a form of the personality of Godhead, although he is not Vishnu. This we should clearly know. He's not Vishnu Tattva, but he is the supreme personality of Godhead, and that is Achintya. Achintya Bheda Bheda. We have to accept it. Okay. He is accepted by all acharyas, including Sripad Shankaracharya. But when he was present in the world, different classes of men accepted him differently. And therefore, their calculations of the Lord were also different. Does this apply to Srila Prabhupada? Yes, I think so. Generally, persons who had faith in the revealed scriptures accepted the Lord as he is. And all of them merged into great bereavement when the Lord disappeared from the world. In the first canto, we've already discussed the lamentation of Arjuna and Yudhishthira, to whom the disappearance of Lord Krishna was almost intolerable up to the end of their lives. I'm just going to finish here. One more paragraph in this purport. The Yadavas were only partially cognizant of the Lord. Are we fully cognizant of Srila Prabhupada, or are we only partially cognizant? That's something we can all meditate on. But they are so glorious. They're also glorious because they had the opportunity to associate with the Lord, who acted as the head of their family. And they also rendered the Lord intimate service. The Yadavas and other devotees of the Lord are different from those who wrongly calculated him to be an ordinary human personality. who maybe we can say was conditioned by his Victorian upbringing in 19th century Kolkata, right? The Yadavas are, and other devotees are, yeah, we've read this. So the persons who are calculating him to be an ordinary human personality, here Prabhupada continues his purport, such persons are certainly bewildered by the illusory energy. They are hellish and are envious of the Supreme Lord. The illusory energy acts very powerfully on them, because in spite of their elevated mundane education, such persons are faithless and are infected by the mentality of atheism. There's a lot more atheism in this world than you realize. There's a lot more atheism in us than we realize. So, Prabhupada continues here that they're always very eager to establish that Lord Krishna was an ordinary man who was killed by a hunter due to his many impious acts in plotting to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and Jarasandha, the demoniac kings of the earth. Such persons have no faith in the statement of the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is unaffected by the reactions of work. Namam karmani limpanti. According to the atheistic point of view, Lord Krishna's family, the Yudha dynasty, was vanquished due to being cursed by the Brahmins for the sins committed by Krishna in killing the sons of Dhritarashtra, etc. See how an atheistic mind can always rationalize and calculate and justify and speculate and so many nonsense things. And people do this, even with regards to the bona fide spiritual master. In the 8th canto, I think it's, I don't remember where, but there's one, I think maybe in his chapter summary somewhere, that Prabhupada says, one should stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human. Why did he say that? Because we have a tendency to do like that. Namartya buddhyasu yetu sarva deva mayo guruhu. Okay. All these blasphemies do not touch the heart of the devotees of the Lord, because they know perfectly well what is what. And how do they know? Krishna's mercy. He enlightens them. Tesham eva anukampartham ityadi. Their intelligence regarding the Lord is never disturbed, but those who are disturbed by the statements of the asuras are also condemned. That is what Uddhava meant in this verse. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, so we'll stop here, but the time is up. But if anybody has any questions or comments, microphone.
The devotees of the Lord are free from karma. What does speak of the Lord being free? Krishna creates the laws of karma by his omnipotent or omnipotent. Is there any difference in omnipotent or omnipotent? By his, what does it mean that by his omnipotent will he's creating the laws of karma which govern human beings, but he and his devotees are free of them?
Very good question. This was answered implicitly, at least by one of our acharyas that I've already read. The definition of an Ishwara is somebody who cannot be restrained. And Krishna's will is unrestrained. Krishna can do anything he wants. And what is that in the Shruti mantra? Satya kama, satya sankalpa. Whatever he sets his mind to, whatever he wants, instant fact. Wouldn't we like to be that way, isn't it? We have to work hard because we're not God. But when you're God, what is that? Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, Shvetashvatara Upanishad tells us. He doesn't have anything to do because everything is carried out by his potencies. So his will is unfettered. This is another word Prabhupada uses quite often. His unfettered will can accomplish anything. He fulfills all of his desires. He doesn't even have to do anything. That is Krishna's position.
Is there any difference in omnipotent or omnipotent?
Well, omnipotent. Well, omnipotent and omnipotent, it's a different pronunciation on that. Actually, the word is the same word. So, yeah. No, there's no difference. Omnipotent means nobody can check you. You can do anything. You have all power. And nobody else can say they've got all the power. We might want all the power. In fact, we do want all the power. But that position is already filled, I'm sorry to say. There are no vacancies. But this is the hard pill we have to swallow. And you know, when you're omnipotent and when you make the rules, you're not subject to the rules. And you know, he can do these things that he does. Krishna does all kinds of things. Even Srimati Radharani tells that her among themselves, the friends, she says, I know he's Lampata. Lampata is a very heavy word. It's a very strong word. I don't know what we can say in English, like, you know, reprobate, you know, incorrigible, rascal, you know, profligate, whatever, I don't know. I can't find a word strong enough. But this is what she says, I know he's this way. Still, mat prananathas to save an aparaha. Do we have that attitude, really? No, we don't. We want to hold Krishna accountable just like anybody else, and that's what it means. Avajananti mam mudha manushim taram ashritam. That's our disease. Okay? Yes, Prabhuji. Yes.
But for the last line, it said that an empowered servant of the Lord, as in the case of Brahma, may experience a remnant of the absence of previous entities according to the laws of Brahma.
I didn't hear you, sorry. Brahma and others may experience what?
It is said that may experience a remnant of the absence.
Okay.
To previous activities according to the law of Brahma.
Yes.
So, can you say like this? Accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone is subjected to Brahma, according to this one.
Yeah, this is a difficult question. Why? Because of the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We mentioned already, without Prarabdha Karma, nobody stays alive. But, you know, that's not really Prarabdha Karma, because Krishna is the one who sees that it's there, and he's the one orchestrating it personally. It's not so with the conditioned souls. And to the extent that we are conditioned by ahankara, Krishna, he takes less direct role in, administering that Prarabdha Karma. In other words, we mentioned already, devotees have varying levels of Prarabdha Karma still operating. But once we become completely transparent, then there's no Prarabdha Karma. Everything he says, everything he does, it's coming from God. So this is something that those who are thinking of taking initiation from a spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, have to give very serious reflection to. Do we really believe this? It's actually very rare also. That's another thing to consider. But for the devotees, karmani nirdahati kinducha bhakti bhajam. This is the point in Brahma Samhita again. Krishna burns up their karma, but maybe not all of it. If he sees fit, he will allow some of it to stay. He monitors it personally. You cannot say that with anyone but a devotee. Others are always, everything is taken care of by Durga. This is the difference. So in other words, we say so many different ways to say the same thing. Devotees are conditioned by Yoga Maya, the non-devotees are conditioned by Mahamaya. The problem is that the non-devotees think that the devotees are conditioned by Mahamaya also, out of envy. They don't want the devotees to enjoy that distinction of being ishitavya, controlled by the Lord's yoga maya. They don't like that. That's called, what is the word? Irshya, envy. I don't know if I'm answering your question. Is it okay?
Okay. You also mentioned in the class that it's the
yes.
That if the demigods or the supreme powerful entities, they cannot be subjected to karma, what to speak of the Supreme Lord? So, according to this line of Bhimbhatra, that sometimes they may experience the reaction of the karma, it is written. So, how do we reconcile?
Your question is a little subtle. I'm not sure I got it. Are you asking if the demigods have any remnant of subtle karma in their consciousness? Or
yes.
As long as there is false ego. Like, just like Lord Brahma has mentioned, sometimes Brahma is a pure devotee, sometimes he's not a pure devotee. You see? So, but even then, even within material existence, this is really difficult for us to accept because of our envy. Even within conditional existence itself, there's a stratification. We hate that. The Marxist ideal of pseudo-egalitarianism is so ubiquitous in this world. We can't even stand. There are some countries, like the United States now, they can't even admit that there's a difference between genders. They're so envious. See the problem? Within material existence, within conditional life, there's still different levels of adhikar, and those who are on the top end are considered to be Ishwaras to some degree, even if it's relative, and those who are at the bottom are considered to be Ishitavya, controlled. Prabhupada talks about this as well in the second canto, I believe it's in the 10th chapter. We have adibhautik, adiatmik, and adidaivik purushas in this world. He doesn't say much about it. Vallabhacharya bases his entire philosophical system on this concept. But Prabhupada doesn't really dilate too much on it. But in among all the purushas, that means the conditioned souls as well as the supreme soul, there is always this consideration of controller and controlled. And the person in this world who is the controller is that person who is free from false ego. And the person who is controlled is the person who indulges in false ego. So there it's also. Is it making sense? No. All right. Yes. But he has the mic.
Sorry about that. There's a shloka in the Bhagavad which explains this well. Aparadana phalam papam putam bijam phalam mukam kamena eva praliyata vishwam deratatma. So here it says there are different stages of dormant reactions to sinful activities to be observed in sinful life. Sinful reactions may be just waiting to take effect. Reactions may be still further dormant, that is, phalun mukha and then kuta, or the reactions may be in seed-like state, that is, bija. In any case, all types of sinful reactions are vanquished one after another, that is, kramena eva pravina.
Yes, kramena, this is the point.
If person engages in the devotional service of Lord Vishnu,
yes. So
at any stage, it is kramena eva,
yes.
One after the other.
Yes.
One
after the other, or in succession. That's another way of putting it. Yeah, so you've widened the parameters of the discussion. We're talking about prarabdha karma. And the question is whether prarabdha karma affects the devotees. So, okay, Krishna Kirti had a question also.
Yes, but first of all, thank you very much for the wonderful class. My question is, it's rather practical. One is that we talk about somebody who's difference between somebody whose words are always true because they don't have a false ego at all. You know, they're surrendered to the Lord, and those who, you know, they have the Ishwaratva. And those who do. So my first question is that how can somebody, he's looking to surrender to the Guru, he's looking to surrender to somebody, how can he recognize the difference between those persons for surrender? The second question, following up from that, is...
Let's take them one at a time.
Okay.
So how do we recognize whether the person has, so to speak, relative or absolute adhikar? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay.
How do we recognize the difference?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not so easy. And we know the standard... That's why we have this guru-disciple courses going on in ISKCON. That, you know, we have to really use a lot of discrimination, and we have to have enough education that discrimination is applied properly. So it's not such an easy thing. And ultimately, to make matters more difficult, because life can never be easy, you know, we have to ultimately jump into the ocean of faith. And, you know, but that faith is not blind faith. Not at all. Not by any means. It is a highly educated, highly discriminate faith, and it has to be cultivated. So, yeah, it's, and everybody's going to be a little different depending on their own, I want to say, configuration of Prarabdha Karma and their own envy or lack thereof of Bhagavan. So it's going to be a little bit complex to discuss that. But in general, I would say, we pray to Krishna for guidance, we take shelter of the sadhus, we study what the Shastra says, and then we make our choice. This is particularly with regard to the spiritual master, since I mentioned.
Thank you.
Okay.
My second one, kind of related to that, was that we see also that persons who do not have the Ishvara problem, they're still nonetheless acting in that capacity of as a guide, either as a Shiksha or a Shiksha Guru. I'm thinking in particular of the example of Samiti in Bhagavatam 4.12.33, where Prabhupada says that, you know, her example applies to the Shiksha or Shiksha Guru, that even though they may not be as advanced, they can still have a disciple like Guru Maharaj who can carry them back to Godhead. So my question then is that even for persons who may not be on that high level, how is it that still their actions are able to bear fruit as if they were on that level?
Because the Guru is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why I emphasize that point, which is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's an inconceivable truth. Prabhupada says, human reason fails to understand how by serving the spiritual master one gets freedom from all anarthas and enlightenment and Krishna bhakti. But it happens by divine grace. This is the mysticism of Krishna consciousness. It's mystical. And she wasn't even a Diksha Guru. You don't have to be a Diksha Guru. But, you know, the thing is going on. It's a divine process by which Krishna makes himself available to the conditioned souls in this world. And it's beautiful. It's compassion. And it's infinite. This is really, it's coming from Srimati Radharani. To answer the question most explicitly, it's really all about her infinite compassion. Daya Sindhu, Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad, glorifies her. She's like an ocean of limitless compassion. And these are all her representatives in so many different forms. Prabhupada says in that famous 1936 essay that he's the same, the Guru is one, but he appears in an infinity of forms. But the purpose is the same, the authority is the same. Krishnam Vande Jagad Guru. Ultimately, Krishna is the Guru, and everyone who else is representing him transparently, that person is also Guru. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
It's in the direction of it. It's really like, you know, I mean, you said it's inconceivable. So is that inconceivability there that even a person who is not an Ishvara, doesn't have an Ishvara problem, is not everything is not necessarily perfect, but still, that applies, that Krishna's mercy is still applying even to those people less than, you know, below that level. That's still able to give some shiksha, they're still able to even give some diksha, and still the result is 100%. So is that the inconceivable, what you talk about when you say that's inconceivable?
In the same passage, Srila Prabhupada also says, he introduces the concept that even if the disciple can be more advanced than the spiritual master, you have to explain that.
Yeah, so that's essentially what I'm asking.
Yeah, therefore I'm emphasizing this mystical, inconceivable divine grace. It's not just a function of knowledge. It's a function of mercy. And that mercy flows through the Lord's representative. The Lord is pleased if we approach his representative. Authorized representative. Now, authorized, to get back to adhikar, means different devotees have different levels of adhikar in giving instruction. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this at length in some of his writings, that when someone is immature but completely sincere, then Krishna will accept that person as his representative. When one is mature but still not pure, then that person cannot act as Krishna's representative. You see my point? Even if the adhikara is less, If that person is in good standing, means you have a sponsor for your soul, and you're in the good grace of that spiritual master, you can still. Shubha Krishna Prabhu gave a beautiful analogy back in the pandemic days. He said, some people may be carrying the virus even though they're asymptomatic. And you can infect a whole room full of people and nobody even knows. You don't even know. You see? This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is so eager to see this thing happen that he's willing to do this. And what can we do in response to that except fold our hands and bow down in gratitude? This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Audharya Bhav. Otherwise, how is this Krishna consciousness is spreading amongst... I mean, we used to say that the first people who joined ISKCON were the most... They're still unqualified. We're all unqualified. It doesn't matter where you take birth, what kind of material... You know, everybody has so many disqualifications. And fear be, this thing is going on. Therefore we say, Mukam kuroti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarana. That verse that deserves meditation. A blind man can see stars in the sky at night and count them. A lame person can hop over mountains. A dumb person can recite beautiful, you know, Arya verses in Sanskrit. How is it possible? Only by divine grace. Only by divine grace. Okay. All right. One more from Panchika. Oh, no. Time to end. Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.